from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Third hour of the Rob Brown Show gets going now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and Lonzo with you. This is our fourth nomination?
No.
Third nomination? Thrice nominated, twice awarded.
All right. Year one for you. Well, for us together. You nominated one. Year two was the year of discontent,
yeah.
I believe.
Nominated, but not a finalist that year.
No. One of the years we missed out, and we think it was a snafu. But anyway, so we won one year together.
Yep.
The second time we went there, we got two. So this would be the third time we got three. I don't know how we can get four next year?
No. I don't mean in a single year. I mean four sports talk radio show of the year.
I know, but think of how we're doing this, though. One the first year, next time nominated for two, next time nominated for three. How do we get a fourth one? I don't know what else we can get nominated for the fourth one.
We're going to be scouring the program that night. Like, what else can we win? What else can we win? Three's not enough. What else can we get in here for? Three-time nominated, twice awarded, fingers crossed in early August. It will be thrice awarded. South Carolina Broadcasters Association's Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. Lonzo and I are also up for in the non-sports category of Best Morning Show Personality or Team. I am up for Sports Broadcaster of the Year. Looking forward to the silver against Chris Miller there. And Lonzo has like a gazillion awards on the side.
Hey, I finally made it, though. My last name ain't even on it anymore. I mean, I'm up there with Bono and Madonna.
Exactly. Nobody's ever going to go, and the Grammy goes to Madonna Jones. Like, that's not what you
I don't
do.
I think that's her last name.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah,
but
I can't remember, though. She's been married quite a few times. One of those might have been a Jones. I don't know.
That's just the funniest way I could come up
with it. She's probably hyphenated more than likely, though.
We'll find out. Did get the nominations for the 2023-24 Star Awards, and the Rob Brown Show up for three.
Thank you,
so
James,
far this year.
Because I was thinking of that earlier. Once we get to five.
Five times.
Although technically this will be five, though.
This would be, let's see, we have this, if
it would be five for you,
if
for this show,
if, because we ain't won a damn thing yet. All right? We got to lock in like the Florida Panthers here. We ain't won a damn thing yet.
Guaranteed some hardware.
Yeah, but if
it's you want to win.
Listen, nobody is ever going,
wait, welcome to the Rob Brown Show, South Carolina Broadcasters Association's second best sports talk radio show of the year.
Nobody's doing that. Nobody gives a damn about that, right? We're not changing the liners if we win second best sports talk radio show in the state.
There have been a few of those on this very station.
I mean, we're not doing that, all right?
I'm just saying.
We're not. All I'm saying here is if Florida loses to Edmonton tonight, they're not hanging a banner for second best team in the NHL. It's not happening. It's not. Right? We ain't won a damn thing yet. We got to stay locked in.
Are we rioting if we lose? Are we doing that?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because I will tell you that we are up against a new show this year, a show we have not gone head to head with yet, because I am OCD to my core, the minute I read about their show, I went straight to their website and listened to like an hour and a half of their pods, and they're pretty good.
Yeah,
they're pretty good.
I don't think I ever do that. So
I do. The paranoia. I'm like Linkin Park with the paranoia.
Because it ain't like they're in the building over there and we see them every day. I mean, if they were, I would not acknowledge them.
Listen, champions watch game film. All right? Tape don't lie.
Okay.
Tape don't lie.
How is that going to affect the outcome?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. Doesn't mean I'm not going to figure out.
I mean, if anything, you'll recognize them when we're there. I won't. So, I mean, until they walk up on the stage first.
Either before us or after us.
Hopefully before.
So, three times nominated, hopefully three times award-winning show. We will find out. Also up for Sportscast of the Year. Lonzo and I also up for Best Morning Show Personality and or Team. We'll let you know what ends up happening this year's theme, for those of you that care, is Garden Party.
It's just ridiculous, man.
How is it ridiculous?
Because it's a bunch of rich people in Columbia deciding something fancy every year. Oh, this year.
Every year we were Cowboys last year, for God's sake.
That's like the most risque thing they've ever done.
You were a mime.
Yeah, because it was a night in Paris. That was just
the nerds being sarcastic.
Oh no, that was me hoping to do what we did, and that was Chris and I sit on either side of the general manager. That was the goal the entire time, which is probably why he made me stay at his table last year to get me back. Just like earlier, I told you my idea. It's more of lashing out at their choices than it is embracing them.
I will,
because we are radio. That's what we do.
I will at some point present unto the three options for attire that Rob Brown is going in. It will either be a...
You going to do a fashion show?
No, I'll put them up on the stream because I can't buy them all.
Do a TikTok fashion show.
It will either be a wildflower theme on top of a baby blue suit, a fern motif on top of a hot pink suit, or the third option... is one that I totally stole from Lonzo, and I'm not going to tell you what it is in case we decide to do that instead, because I think it would be bleeping hilarious.
Oh, it would be great. It really would. I'm leaning towards that a little bit.
I'll put it this way.
No, do not.
I'm not going to give it away. I'm just going to say.
Radio is everywhere, man. Someone to steal it.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that will be largely up to the lady friend. I will let her make. I'm going to tell her that idea, and if she says go, because I've already got the necessary materials for it, right?
You've got the necessary materials, because Garden Party, you dress like that every time you go out. I mean, it's not like it's, I have to go to DXL and go, hey, dress me like Travis Kelce, except not
dress
as expensive.
Dress me like Travis Kelce when Tay-Tay's around.
Yeah, but not as expensive.
But you see your boy... prancing around on stage with Tay-Tay in Europe.
I've seen glimpses of it. That's
pretty good.
I mean, you know, good for him.
What a bro. What an absolute bro. Gotta love that. All right, sports.
Really quick though, suggestions. What should I wear for a garden party? If you should match me. Should I go with a flowery shirt? Yep. Should I find a white linen jacket to go with
it?
What should I do?
I have it. I'm going to need you in seersucker, bud.
Yeah, but that's not that's not garden
that is,
party.
That is absolutely garden
no,
party.
No, that's
definition
that's,
of garden party. You're going to sit here and you're going to tell me what's garden party and what's not garden party? I have a garden, sir, and I throw parties.
By the way, out of all the things that we thought he would get emotional about today, this is not it. And so ain't nobody got on their bingo card. It's a lame theme. I don't.
I love it.
Of course you would.
I love it.
I'm not fancy and frou-frou.
I thought. Shots fired.
You don't think people who go to garden parties
are not fancy and frou-frou.
They're big time fancy and frou-frou.
No, that's all they are.
That's rich people going, oh, are you coming to the garden party today?
No.
Oh, I love your hat. It's beautiful.
This is Lonzo's absolute discrimination is what this is. Anything that's not teachers throwing desk at kids is frou-frou. And I'm not here for it.
I don't know why you're bringing that up. That has nothing to do with going to a party.
Garden parties are delightful ways to spend a Sunday afternoon.
If you talk about a party as delightful, you might be someone who's from the upper crust.
Oh no, every party should be just degeneracy.
Did you learn?
Can't ever have something fancy.
Rock and roll,
and nice.
Dude. Look at my hair. Did you learn how to garden party at Cotillion?
No, I learned how to black tie party.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now, they ever turn one of these into a black tie event, I'm even more in.
That costs even more.
I'm even more in.
That's just, I have to justify buying a new outfit in a style that I never wear to my wife for one night. And I get it's an awesome event. It is a big night.
We're making history.
But I've got quite a few things that are hanging in my closet that I will never wear again, that I wore once. And I can't afford to be wear something only once guy. I cannot afford that.
You wear that cowboy hat anytime you want. You just choose not to.
I look too good in it. I am a natural cowboy. You look like rhinestone cowboy. I look like I should be out on the range.
We all know it.
We all saw it.
I'm
starring in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Emphasis on the ugly. Bang!
Cowboys. Real cowboys weren't pretty. Out there on the range, man, that's hard living.
All right. Texter just texted, sports! So let's sports, shall we?
Wait. Let us have our moment, Texter. And first of all, it is because of sports that we're able to have this discussion. Jealous?
He put like 12 exclamation points on it, too.
Did you actually count them, or are you just guessing?
No, it's ballparking it.
Okay.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think 8. This is close. Round up to 12. Sports. Now that I have 3 minutes left, where am I going to go? Where's my short segment?
Let's give him the sports show he wants. All right, let's read his scores from last night. The Braves won. The Braves did win.
Took two out of the three against the Yankees up in the Bronx, which is something that we definitely all expected was definitely going to happen, right?
Yeah,
that
everyone they were gonna but you. Go, everyone but you.
Yes, everyone thought that team was going to go to New York and take two out of the three for a series win against the best team in baseball. Everybody knew that this team was going to go to the Bronx and win the series.
Well, I tell you what, real fans did.
Oh, I got a new clip. Yay, Ian Dark. Sorry, friend of the show, Ian Dark.
There you go.
As a matter of fact.
You got to make sure you throw that in there.
Two out of the three, Max Fried gave you six strong yesterday. The only L came against Charlie Morton on Saturday. Uncle Charlie's got to be the most Jekyll and Hyde pitcher in the league. There's games he's going to come out and give you a six or seven with eight or nine Ks, and then there's days like he's going to have on Saturday where he just can't locate the ball over the plate at all. A little bit frustrating, but all of that being said, defense was exceptional for Atlanta this weekend. In game number one, they batted like the 27 Yankees or the 2023 Atlanta Braves. We're hitting the ball around the ball field to every part of the ball field. Guys were making really good decisions out on the base pass. It felt like it.
All right, here's the, you know, there was that still faux panic. It wasn't real panic. He hasn't really panicked yet. And he did like an entire show about how they're done. And they weren't, and they're not.
No. Never said they were done. Said that they are not getting it done right now, and that if something doesn't change, they will be cooked. Now, I'm not even saying
told
that
you
something
it was full panic.
Has it if was it, not
if
full
it was
panic.
Real panic. Then, all, yeah, it was not real.
Can one panic yet still work towards a solution? Yes, one can, and one did, and one has, and that is very much why I was elated at what we saw out of Atlanta this weekend. If you had told me that we were taking 2 out of 3 before the series started, I would have called you an absolute lunatic for
it. And probably some other names that he can't say.
And probably some other names that I can't say on the radio. So, with all of those things being said, you got good pitching on Friday and Sunday. You did not get good pitching on Saturday, and that was the difference. Now, there is something that comes into play here, which is, for whatever reason, the Yankees can't, for the life of them, figure out how to hit left-handed pitching. Cannot for the life of them figure out how to put the baseball on the bat against a left-handed pitcher. And the Braves took advantage of that. You threw a lefty on Friday, you threw a lefty on Sunday.
The team can't hit a lefty?
Yeah, team average is very down against left-handers for this team this year.
It's kind of part of the whole game that there are left-handed pitchers, right?
It is, but it doesn't mean that you are good against that. Some teams can't stop the run. Some teams can't stop the pick and roll. It is your weakness. That is the Yankees right now. They cannot hit pitches off of left-handed pitchers, and the Braves threw one at them on Friday, threw another one at them on Sunday, got the dub in both. I'm now interested in the Subway Series because the Mets are coming to town, and the Mets, for a 2-game set, are throwing a pair of lefties at the Yankees. But that's a Yankees discussion, and we're not here for it. We're here to talk about the Atlanta Braves. Orlando Arcia had a good day yesterday at the dish, ended up responsible for one of the RBIs that got them the game. However, Orlando Arcia is bad this year, which is remarkably frustrating because he has been a valuable part of the core the last couple of years. And I thought heading towards the trade deadline that Atlanta was likely going to be focusing on pitching and then maybe an outfield bat. But that has gone completely on its head, and it's gone completely on its head right now because all of the sudden, they moved Jared Kelenic into the leadoff spot. And as a leadoff batter, Kelenic has been remarkable. Has had a handful of dingers, a bunch of ribbies turned in as the leadoff guy. And not platooning Jared Kelenic has turned Jared Kelenic into the player that Braves fans wanted slash needed him to be when the move got made to bring him down from Seattle. I'm thrilled with that. So now all of a sudden, I don't know that you need the outfield bat. You may very well need to go find the infield bat at this point. You may need to go find somebody that can rest Orlando Arcia until he gets his bleep together. Because right now, he does not have his bleep together. And that is one of the few big downfalls for this Braves baseball team at this point. But the bats woke up a little bit. The bats woke up a little bit. They started hitting the ball. Max Fried is giving you exactly what you need out of him on a game-to-game basis. I said, Charlie Morton is the weak spot in the rotation right now because he's fighting a battle against Father Time, and Father Time seems to be catching up. But you took 2 out of 3 against New York on the road? Let's go. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show continues. Rob and Lonzo, happy Monday, my dudes and my dudettes. We talked a couple of weeks ago. There was the not proposal, but discussion that was going on in the land of college sports that would set roster limits, not scholarship limitations anymore, but would set roster limits. So instead of having 85 guys on scholarship and then 40 guys that are not, college football teams would be limited to X number of players, period. And you could do whatever you wanted scholarship-wise as far as your school goes, but you could only have X guys on the roster, right? So in a world where you get, 7.5 baseball scholarships annually, you could have a spot where you could have 15 guys is the new limit on any given college baseball roster, and you could award all of them a scholarship. You could award none of them a scholarship, whatever. But basically, what this proposal would have done, or would do if it goes into effect, what it would do is effectively eliminate walk-on athletes. You would not have walk-on. You would not have the story of the walk-on, the saga of the walk-on. You would not have the annual blitz of videos of walk-on players being awarded a scholarship, which I will tell you, like, ranks right up there with military members surprising their kids on the list of wholesome internet things, right? You go on the internet enough, you see some stuff that makes you question humanity. Just go Google walk-on receive scholarship and tell me it doesn't change your life for the better, okay? Welp, Pat McAfee wanted to talk a little bit about this. I found it interesting. I found Pat's opinion interesting. Going to play it for you, and then Zoe and I will respond. So, there's a take from Pat McAfee, and there's a little bit I like about it. There's a little bit I don't like about it. I will start with this. I think Pat is doing what a lot of people are doing right now, and I think what Pat is doing right now is romanticizing the sport. And I understand. I romanticize the sport as well. We all romanticize the sport because we love the sport and we love to romanticize things that we love. And I think that a lot of the decisions that get made, it is hard to continue to have those romantic feelings about the sport when it slaps you in the face that the decisions are being made by people that do not romanticize the sport like you do, right? And this happens, just so we're clear, this happens in every form of art and media and entertainment. It is exactly, I think, great one, the argument that is happening right now with the Star Wars fandom, right? Because there's millions of us who grew up with Star Wars, and we have this romanticized image of Star Wars. And now, the last couple of elements in the Star Wars universe that have dropped are being made by people who very clearly do not have that same romance about this entire universe that has been out there since 1977. And they're trying to welcome in a new fan base and make more money off of it and yada, yada, yada. Whereas the rest of us are going, this is not the Star Wars I love. It's not the Star Wars I grew up with, right? I think it's kind of the same thing. Those romantic feelings about college football are not shared by the people who make the power decisions. They're not shared by the people who actually have the ability to influence the way that the sport looks, acts, and is run. And I think Pat is kind of having to come to grips with this in real time. But
where does money come into play in this?
In college football?
No,
very beginning.
I am talking about when it comes to not having walk-ons anymore. Where does money come into play?
Well, the money comes in trying to increase the parity. And by the way, this is something that a lot of the smaller schools, because I honestly don't know what the numbers is. If anybody's going to be in favor in this, it's the smaller schools. And I'm not talking about Furman. I'm talking about Vanderbilt. I'm talking about Kentucky. I'm talking about the small South Carolina. I'm talking about the schools that watch a team like Georgia hoard talent onto their roster. A roster cap, a roster limit would create a world where Georgia can't do that anymore. A lot of kids that go play at Georgia and don't play at Georgia, they fill out the roster at Georgia, would not be able to do that. They'd have to go play somewhere else. And a lot of these guys might be good enough to break some other teams out of mediocrity down the line. So I think it's about increasing parity across the game and making sure that, because the fact is that even though it has been shown by ratings that we will all sit here and complain about rematches and complain about those two teams already played, do we need to see them again? The SEC did it a couple of times, and the ratings went up every time they did it, right? So, but I still think the concept is to spread parity and spread success around college football so that your 12-team playoff isn't just the same 12 damn teams year after year.
Yeah, but no matter what they do, it's probably still going to be, because the teams at the top are going to stay at – how often do the Blue Bloods, the teams that have been up there – take such a fall that they're not back within a year?
Very, very rarely. But again, this would change a foundational pillar of college football. You hear Pat talk about it. The guys that are on these teams, they love football. And these are the guys that when it's time to run the Oklahoma drill, these are the guys that clamor to get between the pads and be the guy that goes up there and hits. These are the guys who build the chemistry. These are the glue guys. And there's a lot of glue guys at Georgia that may see, you know, 15, 20, 25 snaps as a backup this year. That would be game changers at a place like a Kentucky or a Vanderbilt. And if Georgia can only have, let's say, 100 dudes on the roster, then a lot of those extra 40, 45 guys would have to go play somewhere else and could make a difference out of Kentucky, could make a difference out of Vanderbilt, could make a difference at a Boston College.
They can
already
do that with the transfer portal. They can leave where they are and go somewhere else.
Right, but they are under no obligation to do so. This would be a mandated way to level out the playing field, right? Because, again, I'm sure there are a lot of guys that would be perfectly happy to ride out 4 years as a consistent backup at Georgia and win a natty that maybe not super interested in going to Boston College and whatever. And for the record, this is not me arguing in favor of it. I am not arguing in favor of it. I honestly do not know where I fall on it. There's part of me that goes, I see the idea of creating parity. It's, you know what it is? It's a college version of an NFL salary cap,
right? It's a college version of an NFL salary cap. In the NFL, you keep teams from stockpiling talent by saying you're only allowed to pay X million dollars a year, and you got to fit everybody on your roster under that number. So Kansas City can't just go get every AFC Pro Bowler from last year and stack them all. You can't do that in college because there's not direct money that you can control the limitations of. But what you can do is say, Georgia, you can have 100 guys playing football. You can have 100 guys, not one more. And that way, player number 101 that would be lost in the sauce at Georgia now has to go play for Maryland. Now has to go play for an Oregon State. And you level out the playing field a little bit. That's the belief. But the whole takeaway from that for me was watching Pat McAfee in real time realize that the decision makers do not give a good gosh darned about the game. They never have. They don't care about the game. They care about making the game profitable and nothing else. Watching him realize that in real time, like, it broke my heart a little bit. It really did. Let's take a break. We'll come back. John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us in the next segment to talk Clemson sports on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and joining us now on the phone, he is a reporter covering Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. He is John Blau, joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. John, what's up, big dog? Happy Monday, bud.
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Thank you very much. Let's jump right in. I would like to get your thoughts on a discussion that we have been having on the show so far this morning. We started it off over with South Carolina. It kind of traipsed over into Clemson. And just your thought on this. I said earlier in the show, to me, this is a bit of a statement year for Clemson football. And when I broke down the ACC this season earlier in the year, you got Florida State that has expectations. You got Miami that has expectations. You got North Carolina that has expectations. There is a path for Clemson to the 12-team playoff. There is a path for them not to make the 12-team playoff, especially considering there's a lot of folks who think you could get as many as 8 SEC Big Ten teams in there if there is that conference bias that a lot of people suspect there is. John, if the Clemson Tigers do not make the playoffs in the initial year of the 12-team playoffs, the reaction will be what?
Yeah, it's just the continued backslide. Obviously, last year they had the fewest wins they'd had since way early into the Dabo Sweeney era. To miss it a fourth time in a row, and especially with the field opening up to what it is now, to be 12 teams, I mean, that would be just the continued backslide. And obviously not a very good look in terms of, you talk about best as the standard, you talk about, you know, you won 2 national championships in 3 years, you were in the playoff for 6 straight years, and all of a sudden you miss it 1, 2, 3, 4 times, and even expanded the field to make it easier for you to get in. And so, yeah, no, it would be a lot of upset. It would just kind of be that narrative that they're continuing to kind of fade, out of the top tier of schools, and they're just kind of back to what they were when Clemson was good, but not great. And so that would kind of be the narrative. So, yeah, it's a statement here in terms of trying to, you know, prop yourself up into that elite. And Dabo Sweeney talking about them being an elite program, that they would have to get back to the playoff if they don't do that. Obviously, the narrative's going in the opposite direction.
There was a big conversation a couple of weeks ago. I know you heard it a million times, I'm sure. I'm sure it's been discussed at length. It's a dead horse that has been beaten into submission, that there are 3 schools that did not take a transfer in. 2 of them were service academies. The other was Clemson. And when you stack that onto the fact that we are multiple years deep into the NIL in the portal era now. We are multiple years deep. You've had time to figure it out, whether you're Dabo Swinney or Shane Beamer or anybody else. Do you think that if Clemson does not make the play, it's a big if, because, again, there is absolutely a path to get there, even playing in an ACC title game if you don't win it. If they do not make it, do you think that is kind of what is going to be the discussion's point about Dabo's tenure next offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a discussion point the last couple of years, so I think it'll absolutely be a discussion point after next season if they don't make it. Whether that's actually the reason why they are not making the playoff or not, I mean, that's a part of the debate. I mean, I think it was a writer with The Athletic. I think it was Seth Emerson was writing about, Dabo Swinney's approach to the portal and saying, well, it's not really the portal. It's the fact that they have missed on quarterback. I mean, if you look at, obviously, I don't know if adding one or two portal pieces around DJ Uiagalelei or adding one or two portal pieces around Cade Klubnik the way he was last season, if that is the thing that gets them to where they need to be, or if, they're just so far below that level of the Trevor Lawrence and the Deshaun Watson era that they're not quite going to be able to produce because they're not getting that production from that position. You can debate it either way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And obviously, I think a lot of people would just like to see Dabo just add one or two good players, enhance the roster where you can. He's obviously taken kind of that principled stand that he believes in his guys, and he's not going to recruit over them unless it's somebody really, really good. And there's a very obvious gap on the roster. There's guys that obviously, there's positions where fans will look and say that's an obvious gap. He doesn't think that's a gap. He has a guy he believes in who he thinks is better than the other options he could get. So whether the portal actually is the reason or not, people will absolutely talk about it because we've been talking about it a lot over the last couple of years. So, I have no doubt in my mind that if they don't make the playoff, that we're going to be talking even more about it. He's going to be getting even more questions about it.
I'm interested in that. I'm a soccer guy. We've been talking about Copa America, and there's been a lot of complaints. Oh, they don't have a striker. They haven't developed a goal scorer, right? And my hit back on, well, hatred towards, I guess, as a coach, Greg Berhalter, the head coach of that team, is, yeah, but it's kind of his job to do that. It's kind of his job to find that guy, develop that guy, implement that guy, make sure we have somebody that can do it. Whether it is complaints about the portal, whether it is complaints about multiple consecutive misses on highly touted quarterback recruits, whatever, the discussion point for me is it still kind of falls down on Dabo Swinney to make sure that you're in the best spot you can be. What's the best Clemson can hope for at the end of this year, regardless of portal, missing on quarterbacks, Cade Klubnik developing or not, et cetera? What is the most optimistic outcome for Clemson this year? Is it a natty?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a high probability of that, but I mean, definitely make the playoff and definitely be able to win a game in the playoff. Because if Cade Klubnik, and actually my last answer, I should have said receiver play really hasn't been where it has been either. I think that's the huge hope going into this year that everybody has is that, Bryant Wesco, TJ Moore, these are freshmen that might be ready to contribute immediately. You have Antonio Williams, you have Tyler Brown, all these guys coming into their own. You might actually have the best receiver core they've had in a handful of years. And then you've got a quarterback in Cade Klubnik who obviously struggled as a sophomore, had his ups and downs. You saw that last drive against Kentucky in the bowl game. I mean, he's a guy that if he can play with some decisiveness, has enough arm talent, has the ability, he can run around a little bit. I mean, he's there's a reason he was considered a 4 or 5-star talent coming out of high school. And so, I mean, the most optimistic is that you finally get those pieces kind of up to par where they have been, maybe not the level that has been with Clemson in the past, but, a pretty good level. You get the offensive line figured out with Matt Luke. You got one of the better offensive line coaches in the country. You can finally get that unit to where you can ground and pound a little bit and Garrett Riley's dirt rate offense. And the defense, if you look at the defense, I mean, it's as talented as they've been over the last however many years. I mean, the talent has not dropped off at all. You got guys like Peter Woods and T.J. Parker coming in their sophomore years and Khalil Barnes. Obviously, Barrett Carter back at linebacker. There's a lot of talent on that team. If they could finally just kind of again, the offense, get that to click into place and get some of that production back. This is absolutely a team that can get to the playoff and win a game in the playoff, whether they win a national championship. That obviously would be a huge jump. I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily, but they're absolutely in the discussion. But obviously there's the alternate scenario where Kate Klubnik doesn't quite develop and the offensive line doesn't quite come together and the freshmen aren't quite ready. And you can see it going either way, but there's absolutely an optimistic frame of mind that you can have going into the season about Clemson if some of those things work out.
And obviously, I completely agree. The development and the improvement of Cade Klubnik is a massive, massive reason for success or failure this year. So we've gone through the camp. We've done the spring games. We've done all that. Was there anything specifically during the spring workout period from Cade Klubnik that gave you a read on offseason improvement or not this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so tough. You know, obviously we're at a few practices or some open practice. You're basically watching them throw mostly on air or a couple of series, maybe 11 on 11. And obviously the spring game is just a mess. Probably talked about that a couple times. I mean, you got split up squads and obviously very vanilla play calling and you got drops and stuff like that. And things would just make it a little weird, quick sack calls. So, yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, honestly, I did not come out of the spring saying for sure Kate Klubnik is so much improved or he's going to be this much better of a player. But there was, it was very limited kind of what we were able to see. So I wouldn't make any bold proclamations or say, like, I saw this or that. And this is why Cade seems like he's better. I know that Dabo said, but again, Dabo's a very positive guy when it comes to his players. He sees a little bit more of a thicker skin in Kate Klubnik, a little bit more decisiveness, a little bit more comfortable, obviously, leading the offense, being a leader. He sees that maturity in him. And again, I go back to that Kentucky game, the bowl game, the last drive he had, the fact that he was able to do that in the clutch. Even though I know some people say bowl games don't mean anything anymore, but there have been signs that he's growing up a little bit, but we're really going to have to see it in fall camp, obviously in the Georgia game. It's really kind of a wait and see, I think, with him.
John Blau covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. You can find him on X at John_Blau, BLAU, joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. John, my man, thank you very much. Big dog, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. That is John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the radio program. I think what he said was reasonable, right? Like, I think there are a lot of people, and I really do think this is a human trait. We like to try to boil complicated circumstances down to one thing, two things. We like to simplify, and then that's just an evolutionary holdover of human beings. We simplify because we can only do so much at one time. So you simplify down to the big problems and you handle those, and then you simplify down to the next bigger problems and handle those, and you keep going all the way down until you've figured it out or until the circumstances have changed. But at the same time, this is why you also hear me use the word nuance like all the time when it comes to sports. The conversation has to have nuance. Has to have nuance. And so, for me, it is absolutely easy to say, and I have said for the record, if things go squirrely here for Clemson, we are deep enough into the portal, deep enough into the NIL era, that I would feel comfortable saying the Dabo way doesn't work. So Dabo's either got to change the way he does it, or Clemson's got to change Dabo, one or the other, or change who's in Dabo's office, one or the other. But I also think it's fair for John Blau to point out, well, you know, this also has to do with poor wide receiver play the last couple of years. It has to do with the lack of development of Cade. It has to do with misfiring on DJ Uiagalelei and then Clay Cade, although not time to write him off yet. But you get the point. And my response is to that, and has been to the folks who have hit me with that before, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But also, don't all of those things still fall under Dabo Swinney, right? Like, even if it has nothing to do with the portal, even if that roster is good enough and the only thing that holds them back is the wide receivers aren't better this year or the quarterback isn't better this year, I got news for you. Those things still fall under Dabo Swinney's watch. Those things he is still directly responsible for. So what do you do? What's the play there? I'll tell you what. If they gave away national championships for reading sports flashes, Lonzo would be a dynasty.
Yeah, I'm not even touching that. The College World Series will play a deciding game 3 tonight after Tennessee and Texas A&M split the first two matchups this weekend. The Aggies took the opener 9-5 after putting up 7 runs in the first 3 innings. The Vols took game 2 after trailing the entire game until the 7th inning when a couple of homers gave them lead. Tonight's win will claim the national championship. The Stanley Cup will be awarded this evening as well. In a game 7 between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers, Florida led the series 3-0, but Edmonton got all 3 back, outscoring Florida 18-5 in the last 3 games. The game starts tonight at 8 p.m. Hey, speaking of tonight, or this afternoon rather, tune in from 3 to 7 for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryce and the Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and absolutely a whole lot of fun. All Wire to Wire.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and joining us now on the phone, he is a reporter covering Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. He is John Blau, joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. John, what's up, big dog? Happy Monday, bud.
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Thank you very much. Let's jump right in. I would like to get your thoughts on a discussion that we have been having on the show so far this morning. We started it off over with South Carolina. It kind of traipsed over into Clemson. And just your thought on this. I said earlier in the show, to me, this is a bit of a statement year for Clemson football. And when I broke down the ACC this season earlier in the year, you got Florida State that has expectations. You got Miami that has expectations. You got North Carolina that has expectations. There is a path for Clemson to the 12-team playoff. There is a path for them not to make the 12-team playoff, especially considering there's a lot of folks who think you could get as many as 8 SEC Big Ten teams in there if there is that conference bias that a lot of people suspect there is. John, if the Clemson Tigers do not make the playoffs in the initial year of the 12-team playoffs, the reaction will be what?
Yeah, it's just the continued backslide. Obviously, last year they had the fewest wins they'd had since way early into the Dabo Swinney era. To miss it a fourth time in a row, and especially with the field opening up to what it is now, to be 12 teams, I mean, that would be just the continued backslide. And obviously not a very good look in terms of, you talk about best as the standard, you talk about, you know, you won 2 national championships in 3 years, you were in the playoff for 6 straight years, and all of a sudden you miss it 1, 2, 3, 4 times, and even expanded the field to make it easier for you to get in. And so, yeah, no, it would be a lot of upset. It would just kind of be that narrative that they're continuing to kind of fade, out of the top tier of schools, and they're just kind of back to what they were when Clemson was good, but not great. And so that would kind of be the narrative. So yeah, it's a statement here in terms of trying to, you know, prop yourself up into that elite. And Dabo Swinney talking about them being an elite program, that they would have to get back into the playoff if they don't do that. Obviously, the narrative's going in the opposite direction.
There was a big conversation a couple of weeks ago. I know you heard it a million times, I'm sure. I'm sure it's been discussed at length. It's a dead horse that has been beaten into submission, that there are 3 schools that did not take a transfer in. 2 of them were service academies. The other was Clemson. And when you stack that onto the fact that we are multiple years deep into the NIL in the portal era now. We are multiple years deep. You've had time to figure it out, whether you're Dabo Swinney or Shane Beamer or anybody else. Do you think that if Clemson does not make the play, it's a big if, because there is absolutely a path to get there, even playing in an ACC title game if you don't win it. If they do not make it, do you think that is kind of what is going to be the discussion's point about Dabo's tenure next offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a discussion point the last couple of years, so I think it'll absolutely be a discussion point after next season if they don't make it. Whether that's actually the reason why they are not making the playoff or not, I mean, that's a part of the debate. I mean, I think it was a writer with The Athletic, I think it was Seth Emerson, was writing about, you know, Dabo Swinney's approach to the portal and saying, well, it's not really the portal, it's the fact that they have missed on quarterback. I mean, if you look at, obviously, I don't know if adding one or two portal pieces around DJ Uiagalelei or adding one or two portal pieces around Cade Klubnik the way he was last season, if that is the thing that gets them to where they need to be, or if, you know, they're just so far below that level of the Trevor Lawrence and the Sean Watson era that, you know, they're not quite going to be able to produce because they're not getting that production from that position. You can debate it either way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And obviously, I think a lot of people would just like to see Dabo just add one or two good players, you know, enhance the roster where you can. He's obviously taken kind of that principled stand that he believes in his guys, and he's not going to recruit over them unless it's somebody really, really good. And there's a very obvious gap on the roster. There's guys that obviously there's positions where fans will look and say that's an obvious gap. He doesn't think that's a gap. He has a guy he believes in who he thinks is better than the other options he could get. So whether the portal actually is the reason or not, people will absolutely talk about it because we've been talking about it a lot over the last couple of years. So I have no doubt in my mind that if they don't make the playoff, that we're going to be talking even more about it. He's going to be getting even more questions about it.
I'm interested in that. I'm a soccer guy. We've been talking about Copa America, and there's been a lot of complaints. Oh, they don't have a striker. They haven't developed a goal scorer, right? And my hit back on, well, hatred towards, I guess, as a coach, Greg Berhalter, the head coach of that team, is, yeah, but it's kind of his job to do that. It's kind of his job to find that guy, develop that guy, implement that guy, make sure we have somebody that can do it. Whether it is complaints about the portal, whether it is complaints about multiple consecutive misses on highly touted quarterback recruits, whatever, the discussion point for me is it still kind of falls down on Dabo Swinney to make sure that you're in the best spot you can be. What's the best Clemson can hope for at the end of this year, regardless of portal, missing on quarterbacks, Cade Klubnik developing or not, etc.? What is the most optimistic outcome for Clemson this year? Is it a natty?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a high probability of that, but I mean, definitely make the playoff and definitely be able to win a game in the playoff. Because if, you know, Cade Klubnik, and actually my last answer, I should have said receiver play really hasn't been where it has been either. I think that's the huge hope going into this year that everybody has, is that, you know, Bryant Wesco, TJ Moore, these are freshmen that might be ready to contribute immediately. You have Antonio Williams, you have Tyler Brown, all these guys coming into their own. You might actually have the best receiver core they've had in a handful of years. And then you've got a quarterback in Cade Klubnik who obviously struggled as a sophomore, had his ups and downs. You saw that last drive against Kentucky in the bowl game. I mean, he's a guy that, if he can play with some decisiveness, has enough arm talent, has the ability, he can run around a little bit. I mean, he's there's a reason he was considered a 4 or 5-star talent coming out of high school. And so, I mean, the most optimistic is that you finally get those pieces kind of up to par where they have been, maybe not the level that has been with Clemson in the past, but, you know, a pretty good level. You get the offensive line figured out with Matt Luke. You got one of the better offensive line coaches in the country. You can finally get that unit to where you can ground and pound a little bit and Garrett Riley's dirt rate offense. And the defense, if you look at the defense, I mean, it's as talented as they've been over the last however many years. I mean, the talent has not dropped off at all. You got guys like Peter Woods and TJ Parker coming in their sophomore years, and Khalil Barnes, obviously Barrett Carter back at linebacker. There's a lot of talent on that team. If they could finally just kind of again, the offense, get that to click into place and get some of that production back. This is absolutely a team that can get to the playoff and win a game in the playoff, whether they win a national championship. That obviously would be a huge jump. I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily, but they're absolutely in the discussion. But obviously there's the alternate scenario where Kate Klubnik doesn't quite develop and the offensive line doesn't quite come together and the freshmen aren't quite ready. And you can see it going either way, but there's absolutely an optimistic frame of mind that you can have going into the season about Clemson if some of those things work out.
And obviously, I completely agree. The development and the improvement of Cade Klubnik is a massive, massive reason for success or failure this year. So we've gone through the camp. We've done the spring games. We've done all that. Was there anything specifically during the spring workout period from Cade Klubnik that gave you a read on offseason improvement or not this year?
Yeah, and he was just so tough. You know, obviously we're at a few practices or some open practice. You're basically watching him throw mostly on air or a couple of series, maybe 11 on 11. And obviously the spring game is just a mess. Probably talked about that a couple times. I mean, you got split up squads and obviously very vanilla play calling and you got drops and stuff like that. And things would just make it a little weird, quick sack calls. So, yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, honestly, I did not come out of the spring saying for sure Kate Klubnik is so much improved or he's going to be this much better of a player. But there was, it was very limited kind of what we were able to see. So I wouldn't make any bold proclamations or say, like, I saw this or that. And this is why Cade seems like he's better. I know that Dabo said, but again, Dabo's a very positive guy when it comes to his players. He sees a little bit more of a thicker skin in Kate Klubnik, a little bit more decisiveness, a little bit more comfortable, obviously, leading the offense, being a leader. He sees that maturity in him. And again, I go back to that Kentucky game, the bowl game, the last drive he had, the fact that he was able to do that in the clutch, even though I know some people say bowl games don't mean anything anymore. But it's, there have been signs that he's growing up a little bit, but we're really going to have to see it in fall camp, obviously in the Georgia game. It's really kind of a wait and see, I think, with him.
John Blau covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. You can find him on X at John_Blau, BLAU, joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. John, my man, thank you very much. Big dog, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. That is John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the radio program. I think what he said was reasonable, right? Like, I think there are a lot of people, and I really do think this is a human trait. We like to try to boil complicated circumstances down to one thing. Two things. We like to simplify, and then that's just an evolutionary holdover of human beings. We simplify because we can only do so much at one time. So you simplify down to the big problems and you handle those, and then you simplify down to the next bigger problems and handle those, and you keep going all the way down until you've figured it out or until the circumstances have changed. But at the same time, this is why you also hear me use the word nuance like all the time when it comes to sports. The conversation has to have nuance, has to have nuance. And so for me, it is absolutely easy to say, and I have said for the record, if things go squirrely here for Clemson, we are deep enough into the portal, deep enough into the NIL era that I would feel comfortable saying the Dabo way doesn't work. So Dabo's either got to change the way he does it or Clemson's got to change Dabo. One or the other. Or change who's in Dabo's office. One or the other. But I also think it's fair for John Blau to point out, well, you know, this also has to do with poor wide receiver play the last couple of years. It has to do with the lack of development of Cade. It has to do with misfiring on DJ Uiagalelei and then Clay Cade, although not time to write him off yet. But you get the point. And my response is to that, and has been to the folks who have hit me with that before, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But also, don't all of those things still fall under Dabo Swinney, right? Like, even if it has nothing to do with the portal, even if that roster is good enough and the only thing that holds them back is the wide receivers aren't better this year or the quarterback isn't better this year, I got news for you. Those things still fall under Dabo Swinney's watch. Those things he is still directly responsible for. So what do you do? What's the play there? I'll tell you what. If they gave away national championships for reading sports flashes, Lonzo would be a dynasty.
Yeah, I'm not even touching that. The College World Series will play a deciding game 3 tonight after Tennessee and Texas A&M split the first two matchups this weekend. The Aggies took the opener 9-5 after putting up 7 runs in the first 3 innings. The Vols took game 2 after trailing the entire game until the 7th inning when a couple of homers gave them lead. Tonight's win will claim the national championship. The Stanley Cup will be awarded this evening as well in a Game 7 between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. Florida led the series 3-0, but Edmonton got all three back, outscoring Florida 18-5 in the last 3 games. The game starts tonight at 8 p.m. Hey, speaking of tonight, or this afternoon rather, tune in from 3 to 7 for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and absolutely a whole lot of fun, all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.